go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I am Ben Bullen.
Ben, we've got a topic today that I'm pretty excited about. Mm-hmm. I say that a lot, I know, but this one's really cool because this is a racing series. And, you know, we love
a racing show.
We do love to talk about racing. So this is, you know, right up our alley. Now, I'm going to give partial credit to one of our listeners. And this is the way this comes about. This is a friend of mine who is a friend, Facebook friend, and a personal friend outside of work, you know, that I know in real life for several years. His name is Robert.
Okay.
And Robert suggested a long time ago that we talk about dwarf cars. Now, I know that dwarf cars are part of what we're talking about here. They've got a history with legend cars. I think maybe Robert was talking about dwarf cars that were like miniatures of street cars, however. And I'm not entirely sure. That's why he's getting partial credit for this one. We'll call it partial credit.
Okay.
Because I think the ones he was mentioning, I have to remember the link that came along with it. I think it's another story that we do want to cover later on about miniaturized street cars. That's not the case, but if he was talking about these dwarf cars, I just want to make sure that we get that out there, that it was Robert's idea. So.
Are you talking about Robert S?
Right. Robert S. Yeah. Let's keep him anonymous. R. Saboter. How about that? His name
okay,
is R.
good.
Saboter. No, Robert S. That's we'll
Yeah,
say
as
that.
Long as we don't say his full name.
That's right. So, if you're listening, I hope you are. Hopefully this is what you're talking about. If not, we'll get to the other one as well.
You got it, Mr. Saboter. So this one's for you.
Oh, you blew it.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
okay. So, let's start though. With dwarf cars, even if they're not the ones that Robert's talking about.
Yeah, let's do that because, this really is the beginning, the origin of the Legends car series. Now, also, that's another thing, Ben.
Yeah.
These are called Legends cars with an S at the end. If I say Legend cars.
Right.
Don't hold me to
it. It can be a little confusing. It's kind of like Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Exactly. But, yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to say Legend cars throughout this whole thing instead of Legends cars.
And that is correct. The latter one is correct. It is plural. Legends cars. Mm-hmm. Now, these are essentially, they're a spec series. And that just means that they're all built to the same identical specs.
Exactly, yeah. And just kind of in general, if you want to run down just before we get to the dwarf car thing and the origin of Legends cars, I mean, just a quick rundown of what they are if someone's not familiar. They're basically a low-cost fiberglass body race car. Mm. It's a single seat. It's really, really small. They're wide, very stable cars. I mean, they've got a real wide wheelbase. They've got covered wheels almost. They're almost covered because they're real wide tires.
Right.
And they do stick out a bit from the sides. They're fast, exciting. They're these miniaturized versions of NASCAR race cars from way back in the 1930s and 40s.
And I think it's important. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting.
No, that's fine.
It is important to say, again, this is affordable racing. This is racing that anyone can get involved in if they save up a little bit of money.
Exactly. And that's exactly, Ben, the point we need to make when we lead into this history. So that was a perfect point to make at this point because, what happened was, early on, we're talking like 1990 or 1992, I think it was.
Yeah.
The guy that ran Charlotte Motor Speedway, his name was Humpy Wheeler. And I know it's a funny name, but Humpy Wheeler and one of the road racers, I think his name, hang on just a second, I'll find it.
Oh, Elliot Forbes Robinson?
That's exactly right. Now, this is like early 1992, rather. Mm-hmm. And again, he's running this guy, Humpy Wheeler, is running the Lowe's track, which is, I think it was called Lowe's Motor Speedway, and it's changed names. To Charlotte Motor Speedway. That's right, Ben. So it's just a name change. That's all same place, but same guy. And they had realized that there was recognized a need for lower cost racing with very little maintenance involved and time and money and, you know, all that stuff that goes into what normally, you know, race cars are really expensive, really time consuming.
Right.
It becomes your life, right?
Let's just add a point for comparison. Let's see, Scott. How long does a typical race car engine last?
it's a matter of hours, really.
Yeah,
hours on track, I should say.
Right. So they're having this moment. Forbes Robinson and Wheeler where they clearly get the idea that this is so much money and time that it could be prohibitive to would-be racing teams. And they're saying, wow, our speedway could be doing a lot more business if we have a lot more people able to race.
Yeah, let's say we had a race every Friday night, every Saturday night when the big show is not in town.
Yeah,
and we can get somebody, some of the local people out here, some of the people just in our region, like let's say the Southeast region, mm-hmm. or from really all over. I mean, anywhere in North America, really, because this thing really spread quick. But they found what they did in early 92 is they found that, the kind of car that they had in mind, this low-cost option for people, something easy to work on, already existed. And where they found it was, there was a place called the Dwarf Car Company, and it was building cars out in Phoenix, Arizona at the time. And what these cars were, they're 5/8 scale steel body cars that were fenderless, and they looked like a 35 Ford coupe. Mm-hmm. And that was the initial dwarf car, I guess. That's a dwarf car that they said, this is kind of what we want our Legends car series to look like.
Yeah, but with a couple of changes.
A few changes, that's right. So they brought, I think it was like four chassis of these, four examples of this back to the Speedway from, out in Phoenix. And they took a look at the car and decided that it wasn't exactly right. So what were some of the changes, Ben, that you mentioned?
Well, the big change is that the steel was a little too much for mm-hmm. for the kind of racing that they wanted. That's why one of the big differences you'll see between a dwarf car and a Legends car would be the fiber body.
Yeah.
And then the other difference is the fender. Dwarf cars don't have a fender.
Dwarf cars do not have a fender because they were initially intended to be run on dirt tracks.
And Legends cars do have fenders.
Legends cars do have fenders because they were initially intended to be run on asphalt tracks. Mm-hmm. Now, one kind of side note here is that Legends cars do run on dirt now. So they initially were intended for asphalt only, and
right.
that was the main difference. So both cars can run on asphalt or dirt, of course. It just depends on the tire selection that you make, and both cars have asphalt and tire selections to make. So, they decided that, the dwarf cars were close to what they wanted, not exactly what they wanted, but they modified it, made it work. They, made a few different changes that we'll talk about, when we talk about the specs here of the car, the engines that they use, things like that. And you mentioned the bodies already, tires, mm-hmm. fenders, things like that, just to make it their own series, really. So the very first Legends car was unveiled at the Lowe's track by the president and general manager, Humpy Wheeler, and, of course, Elliot Forbes Robinson. But the very first one was revealed in April of 1992 at the track, mm-hmm. and big success. People loved it.
Oh, huge success, mm-hmm. because if you think about this, from 1992 to 2013, as we're recording this, this went from one thing happening at the Charlotte Motor Speedway to a worldwide event. It's even popular in Georgia, not just Georgia, our Georgia. I mean, the Republic of Georgia.
Wow.
So
this has gone international.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that as well. But, if you don't mind, Ben, I'd like to talk about a couple different things here, kind of a mixed bag before we really get into the Legend cars themselves and the specs and all that stuff.
Okay.
And some of the other fun stuff. So this is kind of a mixed bag again of what's going on, but you said it's turned into a big thing, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, the cars that they produce, they're produced by this company called a company that they formed, which was initially called 600 Racing Inc.
Now it's U.S. Legends Cars International.
Exactly, right. And of course, they changed it to that international moniker because, of course, it's gone international. Mm. It's just gotten so big. How big, you ask, Ben?
Hey, Scott, how big are we talking?
Well, I'll just tell you how big, Ben.
Okay.
It's gotten so big that they have manufactured more than 5,500 Legend cars since 1992. So it makes them, get this, Ben, this is one of the quotes from this thing. They're the largest mass producer of race cars in the world.
That is crazy. That's
in the
insane.
World. And I guess it makes sense when you're talking about mass producing race cars because that's something that not a lot of companies do. I mean, so it's kind of a niche market.
Right.
However, to produce 5,500 of these things since 92, that's quite a bit. Now, I know that their current production capability is somewhere around 40 cars per month. So that's pretty big too. That's pretty high for a for a race car company. 50 dealers here in the United States, Canada, and Europe. So you know, they spread quite a bit as well. And we mentioned that, you know, well, these series, they run in other countries, and they also host championships as well.
Yep.
And you know, Canada, England, Scotland, they all have championships. Mm-hmm. But the cars are actually, they run in different countries and regions. In fact, we've got a pretty good list of where they run.
Yes.
They run in the United States, the United Kingdom, Ireland. Mm-hmm. They run in Scotland. They run in Northern Europe, all of Northern Europe, all of Central Europe, Mexico, the Republic of Georgia that you mentioned, Australia is another one. These things are all over the place. They're I don't know, global wide, I guess, is maybe the best way to say it.
Yeah, and I think the appeal there is pretty easy to see. First off, these are stylish vehicles because the just the form alone is really cool. Secondly, again, I know I sound like a broken record, man, but these are way more affordable than any other race car out there, except maybe if you want to count 24 hours of Le Mans.
As
race cars.
That's its own special category.
I feel like that's an apples and oranges thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know what? I'd like to do. I'd like to talk about the body styles that they offer. But I think first what we need to do is maybe just take a brief break. How about that?
And we're back, and we are talking about body styles now. This is exciting to me because I like the spec racing approach, especially the way they're doing it here, because they're making an even playing field.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really about how much money the team can spend.
Exactly. It comes down to the car setup, you know, in the pits. It comes down to the driver. Really, it's the driver that makes a big difference in the series. I mean, because all the cars are pretty much the same. There's just maybe a little bit of tuning that goes on here and there that makes some cars a little faster. Of course, the driver's skill is going to play into this really, really big.
Yeah.
Now, I mentioned, and I like that approach too, by the way. I think that's a fantastic way to get people into racing. It's the way to go. We mentioned body styles, and this is one of those things that just really, I mean, that's the first thing you notice when you look at these cars.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't have any kind of, if you didn't have people standing next to these things setting a scale, you really wouldn't understand how small these cars are. They're really, really tiny, and we'll talk about the specs in a moment, but they look like 1930s, 1940s, I don't know, what, NASCAR racers? They're scaled down replicas of 1930s and 40s coupes.
Mm-hmm.
And
sedans.
Exactly, and sedans. And they've got these really, it's just a unique look. The whole series has a unique look. And I can just give you an idea of some of these options. Now, there are 10 body styles that are available from the beginning, from 1992 until today. Now, only 7 of those choices are available for the new cars. So, you know, 3 of those body styles, that means, are no longer available if you buy a brand new Legends race car.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do buy a brand new one, you've got 7 choices going from like a 34 Chevy Coupe, a 34 Ford Sedan, 34 Ford Coupe, a 37 Chevy Sedan. Did I already mention that? No, I mentioned Chevy Coupe.
Yeah.
37 Dodge Coupe, a 37 Ford Sedan, and a 37 Dodge Sedan. Now, there's a couple of those that I mentioned that were discontinued, and that's a 37 Ford Coupe, a 37 Chevy Coupe, and a 1940 Ford Coupe. So those 3 aren't available, but if you want to find one used out there somewhere, that's easily done, because I mentioned, you know, there were 5,500 cars built.
Right. So you can grab those.
There's a lot of options out there, a lot of availability on the older models as well.
Mm-hmm. And, what's interesting too with this is that I know these choices may sound very similar when you hear us reading the list, but the reasons that the other coupes were taken out, especially the 1940 coupe, is just that they wanted these to be more and more closely matched in terms of the competitive abilities.
Oh, the aerodynamics, things like that. I mean, that plays big into this thing as well. I mean, they're not very aerodynamic, as you'll see when you look at the photos.
Right.
But,
they are low to the ground though.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. They want them all to be about the same size and shape and, you know, with just a little bit of variation here and there. And of course, they're giving you, you know, the Ford, Chevy, Dodge options to be able to, you know, pick your favorite, you know, the big 3, I guess. So it's a really interesting series. I mean, there's even though there's just a couple of options for bodies here, really, I mean, 7 options or 10 options.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of variety there, and people seem to really enjoy this. It seems like a lot of fun, and I encourage people to go out and, you know, even if you're just watching a video initially, you know, you're not familiar with the Legends series cars, take a look at it. I think you're going to be surprised. It's really, there's a lot of action there.
Two things. First, yes, it is surprising. They probably will be, when you're watching the YouTube videos, get ready, you guys, because they probably will be having more fun than you are.
Much more fun.
Much more fun. Another thing, there's also a manufacturing concern for LCI, or Legends Cars International, with creating these bodies. It's also more affordable for them to have smaller variety of cars.
I see. Yeah, I understand. So a little bit, a few less options available. Mm-hmm. They still have the variety, you know, of the ten that they had since 92. But, you know, 7 is still a decent amount of cars.
7 is a great number.
To be able to produce 7 different body styles on the same chassis and everything, that's pretty remarkable.
And they're still the largest mass producer of race cars, which is such a weird title.
Definitely not minimizing what they're doing by any means.
Can we talk about the drivers, though? Because if you're watching this to get involved, what kind of driver would you be?
Well, what kind of driver? Well, let's see.
You have one of 4 divisions, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know what? I'm sorry. I've got the divisions here as well. There's several different. So you want to list a couple?
Yeah, let's list a couple. Okay, so let's start at the bottom and then go at the top. So by bottom, I mean in terms of age. So there's what's called the Young Lions division, and that's for drivers between the age of 12 and 16. This is the one I wanted to get to first, because for all of our younger listeners, yes, you guys can do this. You guys can drive these cars before you are 16.
How cool would that be to have a Legends car when you're 12, or even all the way up to 16, anywhere in between that? I mean, these things are awesome.
Yeah.
It would be so much fun. I mean, personally, me right now, I would love to get in the seat of one of these cars. These look fantastic. Like, they're just so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're a 12-year-old that's wanting to get into racing and, you know, you've done a little bit or you're excited about doing this, anywhere between 12 and 16, look at that Young Lions division. That's maybe the way to go.
And then moving up, there's what's called the semi-pro division.
Mm-hmm.
That's for anyone who has less than 2 years of experience in one of the Legends cars, or it's for people who have been inactive in other forms of racing for a while.
So they kind of call this like the semi-pro division is really what they call the novice class.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you have to have been active in other types of racings for a little while in order to be able to race in this. So, you know, everybody's got a little bit of experience, but still, this is a good way to break in.
Right. And then after you get your 2 years in, you are a member of the pro division, and that's just for any experienced driver.
Yeah. Yep. And there's also one more, Ben.
Yeah.
There is the Masters division. Now, the Masters division are for guys like me that are over 40, and it seems like a lot of fun. I mean, these guys probably, I bet there's a lot of racing experience behind the wheel of each one of these cars, I would think.
Yeah.
I would think these guys have done some. I don't think that any of these guys are going to be like, you know, right out of the box. You know, like, I just bought my car. I've never raced before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they'd let you into the Masters division. I don't think.
Okay. I see. For the Masters division specifically.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure you have to spend, like, unless you have a lot of... Yeah, it seems weird to me that someone would just say, I have no racing experience, let me buy a Legends car, put me in the Masters division.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's the case. Who knows?
Maybe.
We need to really kind of pore over the rules, because there's a lot of rules and regulations as well. So,
Oh,
you know what? That's a good point to make, that there's rules and regulations, and they're set by
by INEX, right?
Yeah, INEX, who is the... I don't want to say sponsor. What are they? They're the sanctioning body.
Yes.
That's it. Sanctioning body.
They're the authority.
Exactly. And INEX, that's a company that, they've been around since, I think it was 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually sanctioned 4 race series that I want to mention in just a second. It's not just the Legends cars, but they have some other exciting series that, you know, entry level racers can get into. And I do want to mention them because they're really cool. INEX is the 3rd largest short track sanctioning body anywhere. I think that falls right behind, NASCAR Weekly Racing, and International Motor Contest Association, or IMCA.
Wow.
And INEX has got something like 3,500 members right now. And they sanction, get this, Ben, they sanction more than 2,000 races at more than 200 different tracks throughout the world. So this is a great big sanctioning body. They do really good job because they're in charge of, the rule book, setting up the standards and safety information, for these series and the other three that I'm going to mention as well. They've actually run more than 30,000 sanctioned races since they've been around, since 1995. So 30,000 races, they're doing something right if they're still in business, right?
Right, yeah.
Yep. So, man, this is a really cool thing that they do, mm-hmm. because they've got the Legends Car Series, and we know about that. We've been talking about that, and, that we kind of got a decent idea that, there are these 5/8 scale fiberglass full fendered body, versions of these old NASCAR legend cars, I guess. Mm-hmm. Reason they say it. Just so we get this out there. These are the types of cars that guys, like, when you hear about, like, Fireball Roberts and Curtis Turner and Speedy Thompson and Banjo Matthews and those guys, these are the types of cars that they started driving NASCAR in. And that's why these are they call the Legends cars. Huh. Again, all these different divisions, but they've got these other groups of cars. I'm going to pass over, our listeners can't see this. I understand that's not fair, but feel free to kind of look these up as we go along.
Okay.
I'm going to save this one for last. They do have a couple of different series. One is the final one there. It's a modified dirt car series. What is it called there at the top end?
Thunder Roadster.
No, sorry. Nope. There's one before that.
Legends of Dirt Modified Series.
Legends of Dirt Modified Series. Now that's something that's, kind of like, I almost want to say it's like, the outlaw racing cars that race on dirt tracks with those giant wings on top.
Uh-huh.
It's like that without the wing almost.
Mm-hmm.
Similar in that, these are the cars that you'll see at the tracks sliding sideways around every turn.
That's pretty cool. They've got that kind of flying shoe design.
Not at all. And these are, again, these are cars that, you can buy pre-made, kits just like this. You can go somewhere and special order your race car, pick it up a lot like the Legends car. They're kind of a spec series as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they do other ones as well that I want to mention here. There's Bandoleros. Now these are fast, but they're not really fast.
Okay.
And the Bandoleros are like big go-karts that are enclosed. And what's interesting about this one is they sound kind of like go-karts. They have that kind of rattly sounding.
There's
a reason for that. They're powered by a Briggs & Stratton engine. Now, before anybody gets their idea that, that's not really all that impressive, these are modified Briggs & Stratton engines. They had 20 horsepower. They've been bumped up to 30 horsepower from the same engine. And they're quick. They don't have that big car sound or anything like that. They have a go-kart sound, definitely, but they can be fast. And they're pretty quick. It's like a stepping stone, I guess, between, like, if you're going to race a quarter midget car and then go on to a full-size race car, a fully enclosed race car.
Yeah.
It's like the in-between step.
It's like the Goldilocks.
Exactly.
Moment,
yeah. But get this, you can race these as young as 8 years old if you wanted to.
Wow.
And they go fast enough. I mean, they're evenly matched, so they're really, really fast, or quick, I should say.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, they go fast enough that they can have some pretty spectacular flips and things like that. So there's some really good on-track activity that you can watch online if you want to. Again, that's the Bandoleros cars. Now, the one that I'm maybe most excited about, Ben, is the one you first mentioned.
The one I spoiled.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Maybe people weren't listening. I'm gonna count on that. Thunder Roadsters.
What's the Thunder Roadster?
Thunder Roadsters. These are so cool to watch. I may have a new favorite, racing series to watch online now.
A new YouTube addiction?
Maybe, yeah. These Thunder Roadsters, it was, again, sanctioned by Inex. They're similar in design. Not exactly, but they're similar to the 1950s, 1960s open-wheel race cars.
Yeah.
In that they look really fast. They are really fast. Now, I've showed you a couple here. There's two examples that one has covered wheels on the top there,
mm-hmm.
that image.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one below that does have open wheels, but they have these bumpers that kind of stick out to the side, so you can't contact anything directly with the front wheel, kind of like a fairing that sticks out.
Yeah.
And there's big side pods so that those go in between the space between the wheels. So no one's going to get their wheel caught between your rotating wheels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like open wheel racing with minimized danger. It's still dangerous. They still can touch wheels and that would still be bad. But it's minimized. And I'll tell you, the look of the car, they've got kind of that long stretch up front end. The driver's sits way at the back.
Yeah, that's cool.
But it definitely does look like those open wheel 50s and 60s racers. It's an open cockpit design, real long wheelbase.
And we should point out that all of these are scaled down.
All scaled down. Yeah. They're pretty small. But they're fast and they're exciting to watch on the track. I mean, really close racing, drafting, passing, all that stuff. It's a really neat series. So if you get a chance, you know, in addition to the legend cars that we're talking about today, these Thunder Roadsters are something to look at. They're really, really cool.
What I like about this is that we can totally buy these, maybe on the company dime, and start a HowStuffWorks.com podcast racing series.
I would absolutely love that.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, you know what? I tell you what. Before we get too far, because, you know, the cost is low.
Yeah.
Before we get too far here, and I've got a couple more things I want to talk about. The specs of the car, just in general.
Sure.
And then I've got one more thing that I want to share at the end. But before we do that, let's take a quick break.
Great idea. And we're back. Scott, can we start speculating?
Speculating or specking?
Specking.
How about specking? Let's speck.
All right.
Oh, we can speculate too.
Well,
how about
just
that?
Churchifying it a little bit.
So we're going to talk about the car specs, right?
Yes. Save the cost for the very end, though, because that's one of my favorite parts.
Fair enough, because it's reasonable.
We can go back and forth. One thing that's interesting, I want to respond to our earlier point we made with the Young Lions division. How can you drive it between 12 and 16, right?
Correct.
Well, it has a motorcycle engine.
Ah, that's a very good point to make, because it has a Yamaha 1250cc engine which is sealed, or there's a 1200cc open version.
Mm-hmm.
And these things are powerful.
I mean,
don't let that fool you. I mean, these things have, and I've seen two different numbers here, Ben.
Okay.
The INEC site quotes the horsepower at 122, which is, by the way, that's pretty high for what we're talking about.
Especially considering the weight of the vehicle.
Exactly, yeah.
But then the other number you'll hear quoted outside of INEX is 140 miles per hour, or horsepower.
That's right, 140 horsepower. So, you know, either one, I mean, if it's either 122 or 140, these things are powerful, they're quick,
mm-hmm.
they're extremely fast. I mean they're really, really, Ben, these are a joy to watch. How about that? I'm going to say they're a joy. It makes for a good day at the track.
Yes. And going to the weight, they're only about 1,300 pounds with the driver.
No comment about the way I said that. That was a little corny.
I thought it was poetic.
A little corny.
Well,
does. It's that'd be a good day at the track, Ben. That would be a good day.
It is. Maybe we can go.
All right.
So the reason I didn't say anything was because I thought it was a really good comment, and I didn't want to steal that moment from you.
I appreciate that. I'll hold on to that moment then. But let's get on to the specs. How about that? So you mentioned the weight, 1,300 pounds with the driver.
Yeah,
that's extremely low weight. I mean, these things. I mean, you have to see somebody standing next to a Legends car to get an appreciation for the size of these things. Now the vehicle height is only 46 inches tall. So it's slightly bigger than, you know, waist high, waist level for most people.
Yeah.
Of course, kids, you know, that's a little bit taller, but, you know, that's a kid.
10 feet, little over 10 and a half feet long.
Yeah, that's extremely short. I mean, so it's a really, really short wheelbase. The width of the car, they're pretty wide. I mean, they're 60 inches wide.
Mm-hmm.
So the wheelbase is 73 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a nice, I mean, the wheels are, again, they're at the very front and very back end of the car. And with the width that they have and the wide tires, because I don't know if we've mentioned this, but the tires are 205 6013s, for the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
Those are extremely wide tires.
Yes.
When you see them,
they're very, very wide.
Yeah, it's a very stout-looking car. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, I know that they sometimes flip, and that happens in racing, you know, because people nudge other people, or you know, you take a corner too hard.
Right.
But man, these things are—they're planted to the ground. They're very, very firm on the ground.
Right, which I think they need to be given the weight and the engine.
And if something does happen, they've got a full tube frame with integral roll cage.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these aren't just going to collapse. You know, the roof's not going to collapse down like it looks like it will. They're in a full race cell inside there. So, there's no worry about that. I mean, I've seen some pretty bad Legends car wrecks online now that we've been watching, you know, all the stuff about, you know, the Roadsters and INEX series and the Legends cars. And, in addition to the fast racing, you also see a lot of collisions, a lot of accidents on track. A lot of flips. And it does happen because these things are going pretty quick. But every single one of these things that I've seen, the driver just gets out and walks away.
All right. Are we ready? Are we ready, Scott, to say how much this all costs?
I think we are. Yeah. Before we get to my final point here, let's definitely talk about the price, because we mentioned that, you know, the initial need was for a low cost race car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've delivered. I mean, even now in, you know, 2013, What's the price, Ben?
Well, let's ask our super producer, Noel, for a little bit of dramatic music, maybe a drum roll. The price of your next Legends car will be $12,995.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, when you're talking about a full race car mm-hmm. that's ready to go, that you can just plop it on the track and race with everybody else that's already out there.
One of seven body styles, your choice.
Exactly. You get to choose the body style out of the seven that we mentioned. That's amazing. And if you go to get a used Legends car, even lower.
Yeah.
And there's so many of those available. People can buy used Legends cars, and you don't have to go brand new from the factory at $12,995, even though that's amazingly affordable for a race car.
I mean, that's almost like heretical as far as race car prices go.
Exactly.
Because like violation.
They're notoriously expensive. I mean, that's one of those things where, you know,
millions of dollars.
You could just dig a hole and keep throwing money in it and you'll still spend more money on your race car. But this is a very affordable way to get into it, you know, no matter what age you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
That's a fantastic jump in price. But if you talk about the used market, and they are out there, there's lots of them out there. You can pick up one for a pretty sweet deal. I mean, I've seen some for, you know, $5,000, you know, or even lower. Mm-hmm. It depends on, you know, how, you know, the body shape that it's in. Of course, you can order new parts.
Right.
You know, through the manufacturer. But, again, all this depends on, you know, how the car is set up, you know, what they've got into it, what they're going to offer it for. But there's some deals to be had out there.
And, sounds like we're almost wrapping up, but it's time for one more thing.
That's right. I've got one more thing.
One more thing.
All right. So I mentioned used cars, right?
Yes, sir.
And here's somebody that has taken this idea even farther. This is from the Knee Slider, which is, the motorcycle website. And the headline grabbed me because, you know, what we're talking about here. It says, Street Legal Motorcycle Powered Legends Race Car. You hear that first part? Street legal. This is these are race cars.
Oh, is it street legal?
Well, the owner, his name is Lincoln Breyer, was kind of looking at his used Legends car, as it says slightly used here in the post, but looking at the photo, it didn't look in too bad a shape, really. It looks pretty good. But, you know, wanted to make it street legal. How would he have to do it? So he added a few different things, and there's a key point that we'll get to here that you have to do in order to make it street legal. But one of the things that he had to, or several of the things he had to add, were lights, turn signals, rearview mirrors that came from a Harley Sportster, a horn, a radio, rear windows, and also a reserve fuel cell that he can activate with a toggle switch, because they have a very small fuel cell for the
right,
racing, because they don't require a lot of fuel on the track. And he's got this reserve fuel cell just for longer trips. He also added an exhaust and a muffler, and he changed the gearing in order to make it drivable on the street, really, because, you know, these are set up to race, so it's a little bit different gearing. He says the car tops out at around 90 miles per hour just because of the wind resistance. You know, it's not really
the most aerodynamic.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not aerodynamic. And he says there's one really major drawback on this thing, or actually a couple, I guess. First one is that it's a single-seater. You can't take anybody with you anywhere.
Yeah.
A lot like a go-kart or something like that, right? And the other thing is that so far, right now, he doesn't have any reverse gear in this thing. Because, you know, you don't need reverse gear in a race car. So the problem is that, you know, like a lot of these motorcycle-powered cars, like the Legends cars, don't have reverse gear. They have a transmission that only has forward gears. But he says for $1,400, he can fix that and modify it and make it work. But that seems like a lot of money when you're talking about, you know, using an old
and
car.
And stop having to just push it out.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I suppose it might be worth it, you know, $1,400 to save having to do that, let's say if a day was raining or something that you're driving it.
Yeah.
But the picture of it here, it looks pretty nice. He just painted it kind of a dark blue. And it has...
Oh, that looks... That's classy.
It looks like... I mean, it just looks like... What is it? The 37 Chevy that he's got. I mean, or what is it? I think that's what it is. Anyway. I'm sorry. It's a 34 Ford. It's a 34 Ford sedan. So it looks... I mean, if no one's standing next to it, it looks just like any other...
That's the thing. The scale is so
any
deceptive.
Any other any other 34 Ford sedan. Now, the key to this whole thing, Ben, is that when you buy this... You have to get a certificate of origin Otherwise, you'll not be able to get it registered with the DMV. So, and that's one thing that a lot of these don't have is really the certificate of origin. And he happened to have that, and that enabled him to then bring it up to streetcar standards.
So you'd have to have it from who, 600?
I don't know. I don't know how you would get that. I don't know if you would get that from the manufacturer, if you get that from the previous owner. Because if these things trade hands, maybe that doesn't go with them. Because it's a race car, you don't need to worry about titling and all that stuff. So,
right.
Maybe that's what he's talking
about. Unless you want to make it street legal.
But I just wanted to throw that out there, that you have to have that certificate of origin in order to do something like this, if you have this idea to turn that into a street car.
That is amazing, and I hope that somebody, one of our listeners, will take us up on this.
That would be a fun project.
We will morally support you. And, if you're in the area, why not swing by?
I didn't hear you say financially support. That's good.
I'll go on a case-by-case basis with that, my friend.
I understand. So moral support is about where we draw the line. But you know what? If somebody's doing this project, we definitely would like to hear from you, because this would be a fascinating thing to watch happen.
Yes, absolutely. Australian listeners, Northern European, Central European listeners, where else?
Canada. Yeah, Mexico, anywhere, all over the place. Republic of Georgia.
Oh, yes. How could we forget? And if you are active in this scene, if you have seen one of these races in real life, if you are working on one of these cars right now, let us know how your experience is going. You can drop us a line on Facebook. You can send us a tweet. Oh, and you can check out some more information on our brand new website.
Yeah, that's right. It's carstuffshow.com, and there's all kinds of information there. We're constantly updating it with videos that we produce, blog posts, of course. We've got our Facebook feed is there, Twitter.
Photos,
all kinds of stuff. The podcast, you can pick up the podcast there. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot of people have been going to iTunes to get the podcast. They can still do that if they want, but all of our podcasts are on our website now.
That's a tricky thing. Only the last 300 are on iTunes.
Yeah, that's right. You can access the entire library on our website. So, again, that's carstuffshow.com. And I'm constantly working on updating that thing. You and I are, Ben. So I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah. And
I'm happy with it.
If you want to send us an email directly about, any old thing, we are always open to suggestions for upcoming shows. And we'd love to hear about your legend's car, if you have one.
Definitely. Send photos. Lots of photos.
Send photos. Oh, and thank you, Scott. And send those photos to
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.